Eternal Father, we thank Thee that we have been able to live through this week and come to this day of rest. We thank Thee for the peace and joy and gladness in our hearts as we worship. As we think of Thee who neither slumbers nor sleeps, but watches over us incessantly, supplying us with our daily bread, holding out to us the encouragement and joy of a hope set before Thee in us, of living in Thy presence forever. May our meditation this hour, guided by Thy Spirit, stimulate us to live to that end and glorify Thee, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some thoughts that I like to think often. One is contained in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus is the finisher. And as I have observed so many times, I have never finished a job in my life. Have you? I only quit working at it. I think of the little pieces I write in the Joy in Living. After the fifth draft, you quit working. Let them print it. Next time I'll try to improve. You work at it, you work at it, you work at it, you think of a word here, you shorten a sentence there, you add a word there, you modify a concept here. After a while, the deadline comes and you hand it in. You just quit working at it. Jesus is the only one who finishes. He completes the job that He is doing. Just think about that for a moment. All the loose ends gathered together. All the dropped stitches picked up. Every part fitting into every other part complete. Jesus is the finisher. In the Gospel of John, he of all the Gospels noted this stupendous fact. Gospel of John, chapter 19. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." The sour wine, if you please. Translated, vinegar in the Scriptures. When Jesus had received the wine gone sour, he said, "It is finished." And bowed his head and yielded up his life and died. Many things there we couldn't do. We can't yield up our lives. We can't will this moment to die this moment. He did. He gave. Into Thy hands, having said, "It is finished." Take that little phrase and think about it not only in connection with this weekend. It's in connection with many things that Jesus did. This weekend is as useful a time as ever to think about Christ's death. It isn't the memorial of His death, it should follow the week. The 14th of Nisan goes through the week. It's Monday once and Tuesday another time, Wednesday another time, Friday another time. It was decided about 400 years after Christ to settle on a weekend. instead. Just like they decided after years to settle on the time that Washington's birthday should be celebrated. In England, they decided when they were going to celebrate the birthday of Queen Elizabeth. There were always parades and tamashas and fairs and holidays connected with the Queen's birthday. It occurs at a cold, shivery time of the year, and it couldn't happen that way. So they decided to have it in the summer, where the weather would probably be much better. So it was an arbitrary decision that yesterday should be called Good Friday, and today should be called Holy Saturday, and tomorrow should be called Easter Day. Today, in this symbolic week, if you will, today is called Holy Saturday. It's called that many centuries after it was decided on a weekend. Thursday was called Maundy Thursday or Shreve Thursday or several other names. It's Shreve or Shrove. It's got the idea of cleaning. They did their hair. They put it up. They cleaned it up to get ready for the weekend. And Maundy Thursday is from the mandatum when the command to wash feet was given. And the good old days, they washed feet, everyone from the bishop down. Friday was the day of Christ's death, Good Friday. And the Saturday following, the day he spent in the tomb, was called Holy Saturday. The day of rest, following the day of completion of work, is extremely important in the revelation of the will and character of God. After Jesus said, "It is finished," laid down his life, he rested. Let's find Luke, chapter 23, verse 54, and 55, and 56. Luke 23, 54. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Verse 56 ends with, "They rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." And then, 24:1, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared. Now, when did they prepare it? Verse 54. That day was the preparation. They prepared it. Verse 56. Prepared spices and ointments. The body was lying in the tomb. The preparation for the embalming was all complete on the preparation day. But they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, when Luke wrote the book of Luke is still surmise. Luke wasn't even converted yet. Luke was converted by the Apostle Paul in Asia. On one of his earliest missionary journeys. And then Luke opens with the statement that I did much homework. Got all the historical facts together. And then one day the inspiring spirit entered his mind. And the inspiring dynamic came with the force of a command, write. And he wrote. Years and years later, perhaps 30, 40 years later, he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And as he looks back to that memorable weekend, he noted that the women prepared the spices and ointments on the Friday before sundown. Now, why would he write that down 30, 40 years later? Those spices and ointments weren't used. Is this a piece of useless information? John 3:16 is compressed into one verse. Why tell us in two verses about the spices? As I've told my students many, many times, prolixity deepens impression. Quantity is emphasis in the Scriptures. When the Lord gives much space, or more space, he is underlining. And here these women prepare all the spices and ointment, pounds and pounds and pounds of it. Joseph of Arimathea gave 100 pounds. They probably had a quarter of a ton of spices. An eighth of a ton, anyway. 250 pounds, what I meant to say. All ready for surrounding the body of Jesus. Prepared on the Friday. Having prepared it, they rested according to the commandment. Then early in the morning, with these pounds and pounds and pounds of embalming spices, they came to do a day's work, but found the tomb empty. Jesus had begun his work in the next phase of his ministry. Now, if I may again call attention to this fact, it is finished occurs many times in the Bible. We go back to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and read that the heavens and the earth were finished. And then Jesus Christ rested on that holy Saturday. He is the finisher of creation. And then he rests on holy Saturday. He is the finisher of redemption, and then he rests on the holy Sabbath day. Let's find Revelation, chapters 4 and 5. Revelation 4 ends with a song. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. And after he had created all things, and the heavens and the earth were finished, and Jesus said, it is finished, he rested on Holy Saturday. Then in chapter 5, verse 9, they sang a new song. Thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Jesus was the creator. He was to be extolled as worthy. He finished creation. He rested on the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. He finishes on Calvary's cross the redemptive sacrifice. Then he rests on Holy Saturday, on the Sabbath, according to the commandment. On the first day of the week, he began his work of creation. On the first day of week, he begins his work as intercessor. the next phase. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Turn back to Hebrews 4, and we will take the next series of concepts that I'd like to introduce into this total mosaic of meditation. Hebrews 4. The children of Israel had been years in Egyptian pilgrimage. They weren't in bondage until the last few months or years. They certainly were not in bondage while Joseph was prime minister. It was when a Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph that he began to make the taskmasters put pressures. Genocide, destroying babes that were born. Other atrocities began to be practiced. And then God summoned his people to leave Egypt and follow the star, follow the fire and the cloud to the land of promise. He worked miracle after miracle. The miracle of the Exodus across the Red Sea, of feeding those millions, of watering those millions, of supplying them with heat by night and air conditioning during the day, the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud up at 8,000 feet, cold in the desert, pillar of fire warmed with its lambent flame, the tents of Israel. And then as the sun came scorching down, as it does there in the Arabian Peninsula, its part that's the peninsula of Sinai, during the day, cloud would move between the sun and Israel, keep them cool. The water flowed out of the flinty rock. The manna was provided all around their tents, every day but the Sabbath. God's trying to tell them something. 6 days, gather your work. Do your work. Gather your food. Prepare it. 7th day is the Sabbath. But Israel rebelled. There were 10 major points of rebellion. Sometime go through the book of Exodus through Deuteronomy and list them. And list the factors that precipitated revolt. One of which led to a leader. A new leader, other than Moses, to lead them back to Egypt. But when the period was finished, Kadesh Barnea was a second time visited, the gateway to Palestine. The Lord says, now go in. I will help you finish this task. But they wouldn't. They rebelled against him. And Paul takes up the argument in chapter 3 and continues it in 4 verse 1. Let us, therefore, fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, some of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. This is Israel. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them which heard it. For we, Hebrew Christians, living maybe 30, 40 years after the cross, we, which believe, enter into that rest. Now what is this rest that he's talking about? Well, let's follow his argument. As I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter in. Although the works were finished from the creation of the world. Now, to what is he turning our minds? Having given us the milieu of the Exodus, having called attention to a rest, he defines it by going back to the beginning. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day in this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. From all his works. He rested the seventh day when he had created the world. He rested the seventh day when he had redeemed the world. God rested the seventh day from his work of creation, and God rested the seventh day from his work of redemption. God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place they shall not enter into it. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, because of unbelief, again he limits it to a certain day. It's always a day. The seventh day is always the day. It's limited to a certain day. Man has no right to play fast and loose with what God has limited to a certain day. Verse 8, if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not after have spoken of another day? Therefore, since he didn't, therefore there remains a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God. Sabbatismos, as your margin will indicate. Now what do we do with this rest? He that is entered into his rest, see the others didn't. Many people through unbelief don't enter into his rest. But he that enters into his, God's rest, ceases from his own work. As God did from his. Now what are our works? 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. See, that man, that woman, that child who enters into God's rest stops his work the same way as God stopped his. And we go to Genesis and all his works were finished from the creation of the world. In 6 days, God finished and rested the seventh. When Jesus Christ came to earth, he finished the work which God gave him to do. And he declares it is finished and rests on the Sabbath according to the commandment. There remaineth, therefore, a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God. And that man who would enter into God's rest must cease from his own works in the same way as God ceased from his. Let us labor, therefore. 6 days shalt thou labor. Let us labor, therefore, so as to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Got many examples of unbelief. Then he goes on to say, the word of God is quick and powerful. It'll discern your motives, your thoughts and intents of your heart. Don't rationalize. Think this thing through carefully and prayerfully. Verse 13, every creature is manifest in his sight. All are naked, open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then, we have a high priest. Let's go to him and get grace and help, verse 16, for every time of need. And the context is the observance of the Sabbath. God has limited the Sabbath to a certain day. That certain day was exemplified by Jesus Christ both at creation and at redemption. Jesus Christ finished all the work that he had done of creation and rested the Sabbath day. God finished all the work of the redemptive sacrifice on Calvary and rested the Sabbath day. There remains a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God. And many to whom it was preached entered not in because of unbelief. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into His rest after His example and stop our work the same way as God stopped His. Now, this is the theological rationale upon which a believer in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, comes to focus on Saturday, the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. The logic of Paul is irrefutable. The revelation of the Bible is perfectly clear. That man who enters into Christ's rest stops his work the same way as Christ stopped his. At creation, for all things were created by him, and at redemption, because when he had finished it, he rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Jesus Christ came to this planet to reveal his Father's will. Jesus Christ came among men to give to us an example. Jesus Christ day by day fulfilled all righteousness. Everything that was right, Jesus Christ did. And as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, if I may turn back to it, looking unto Jesus, the author. He is the author of our faith. He is the one who has started us. He is the one who exemplifies before us. He is the author as well as the finisher of our faith. We look to him. We follow his example. Last night during the Messiah, we were thinking about Jesus as a babe, as a teacher, as a comforter, as a sacrifice, as a triumphant intercessor. I want to implore you in your thinking not to play fast and loose with his example. He loves us all with an everlasting love. Calvary demonstrates that. He has died for all men. We owe him a double debt. He was our Creator. He is our Redeemer. He is our coming King. Think soberly. Think rationally. Jesus Christ never changes. His example never loses its relevance. His appeal, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest, includes the Sabbath. The Sabbath is part of his rest. This is what he wants to give. This is the day he made. This is the day of which he is the Lord. And this is the way on Holy Saturday, 1900 years ago, in which he rested, having completed his work, and declared of it, it is finished. Let us labor to enter into his rest. Today he is inviting us, come. Enter into my rest. Not only does this include peace of mind, the joy of sins forgiven, but this includes as well an acknowledgement that he made, that he redeemed, that he is the author, that he is the finisher. One day, very soon, he will be here to lead us into that better land in which we will go on keeping the Sabbath for all the days of eternity, as a memorial, unchangeable, fixed as Christ is fixed, of the works that he finished. allow him to finish his work of transformation. Through mediation in our lives, let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank Thee for Jesus. We thank Thee for His love and compassion, sacrifice. We thank Thee for the clearness of His example. We thank Thee for His intercession, for His gifts of grace and forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. Fulfill, we pray, in each of our lives, Thy grand design. We love Thee. We yield ourselves to Thee, praying for Thy fullness, for the infilling of the Spirit, for peace and joy and love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.